If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the divine love and light of the Supreme Source. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christ. This evening, our seminar topic is Increasing Light, the Ups and Downs of Illumination. So, if you're ready, let's take a deep breath together and allow the downflowing of that supreme light. Let's do that again. Take a deep breath. And experience that supreme light cascading down into your head of your head, top of your head, your crown chakra, and flooding all throughout your body. Let's do it once more. Pull yourself forward with your intention. Deep breath. And allow the infilling of the supreme light that is your true self to infill every cell of your being. Excellent. And just take a moment and feel that connection that you just made. That beautiful sense of coming present with yourself. There's a feeling where the mind is just poised and still. And your whole being is like an upturned chalice. Being filled with your own preciousness. Your own higher nature. And let's chant the hue, H-U, three times to clear the mind and to prepare the receptivity for tonight's transmission. Deep breath. Hue. Pause a moment and also experience how everything inside you becomes still and poised and receptive. So just now ask that you be filled, surrounded, infused, and protected by the highest divine light. That whatever could be lifted, absolved, ameliorated, or simply replaced by a higher divine outcome, that could be placed with you now according to your highest good and highest rate of vibration. Excellent. So tonight we are celebrating the summer solstice. And I don't think that I've ever experienced a more powerful one than this one. And I want to look at it with you because perhaps it has affected you in a way that you didn't really attribute it to the increase of light. Sometimes we just don't realize that the major function of the increase of light and vibration and its effect upon humanity as a whole is to dissolve this illusion of separation from eternal love. It's to dissolve that. So every single thing that's happening on the planet is a result of the increasing of the light and the vibration and how it, and the effect it's having on humanity and each one of us individually. So the first thing to ask ourselves, perhaps, are you aware of yourself as light? We've been told by many teachers that you are the light. But what does that mean to you, personally, individually? I think most of us tend to identify more with our flesh and bones and our human personality. But light is actually our true form. It's our true original manifestation. Light was the very first act of creation. And that was what created us as soul, which is the individualization of the God source into the many. That's what is called soul. And that was the very first act of creation. When the original source said, I am one, let me be many. And the purpose was to extend the light of love throughout creation. And as each one of us individually, so that even though we're all light, we are all divine, we are all pure love, we are all rays of the one source, we each are an absolute individual manifestation of that. And so you are the light. But just not any light. You are you. As a unique extension of that divine love, because love and light are the same. They're the same vibration. So the light is you as a unique embodiment of divine source. So the false self or the ego is simply this mistaken sense of alienation and estrangement from love or God. Same thing. So the ego has no form of its own because it really has no existence apart from this silly notion that it's separate. But when the sense of separation takes over one's mind, it is called the ego mind, and it is the very embodiment of ignorance and falsehood or darkness. Because ego is the very denial of your reality as eternal light and immortal love. But since it's nothing more than a silly notion. It is really easy to disperse it. It really is quite easy, but you have to identify it every time it moves into attitudes of judgment, againstness, criticism, blame, pointing fingers. fear, every time it goes into those negative states, which are basically devoid of loving, then the ego has deluded the mind. And so once you can recognize those tendencies, when you see them coming or threatening to erupt, you can stop, take a deep breath, and call forward the light of your true self. And we become more and more skilled with that. You know, the more experience we have with life and learning how to work the energies of our particular composite as a embodiment, the more skillful we become in discerning the truth from the falsehood. And again, the truth always sets you free. You'll feel that sense of freedom and relief when you are expressing boundless love. Love without boundaries. But it has to be that impersonal variety, because if you have boundaries, it means you have agendas in place. You're wanting to get something. You're wanting to use creation and other people to pleasure yourself in some way, to add to yourself in some way. And the truth is that who you are is whole and complete now and has absolutely nothing that needs to be added on to it. So that's very important to remember. Now, with this increase of light that's happening on the planet, it tends to flow where there's the greatest opening, okay? Depending on where you tend to be focused in yourself, that's where the light is going to come. And if you're focused in negativity and hatred and againstness, it's going to increase that. Why? Because the tendency of light is to surface darkness, to reveal darkness, to reveal untruth. So wherever the light is, it's going to flush out the creepy crawlers, you know, in the corners and crevasses of our consciousness, whether it's on the planet, or politically, or religiously, or scientifically, or personally, within our relationships. Whatever's been hidden is going to come up. And there, you have your work cut out for you. But it's different for each person. The effect of the light is very individual. So I want you to look at your own life and what's going on right now. What's coming up for you? What's on your plate? Lately, I've been having really unpleasant, I would have to say, revelations that before I never noticed. So that means because I'm noticing them for the very first time, I have gone to a level above where I was so that I can look down and see these things that have been there all along, but I didn't notice them. You don't tend to notice what's on your same level. You only become aware of it when you're on the level above. Understand that? For example, one of the effects as you bring in more of your true self is that you're going to notice more blatantly than ever what's not in alignment with that. You're going to notice, oh my God, I'm so into ego. That was so selfish of me. My God, I'm expressing that greed. It may be very subtle. But hey, you know, it gets more and more subtle. You go from blatant selfishness and total disregard of anybody but yourself to becoming so attuned to that freedom that you feel when you're in boundless love that it becomes absolutely painful when you depart from that to the slightest degree. It's like wearing a white outfit. Every little speck is going to show up, okay? So one of the first things that happens when you begin to occupy as a soul, as the light that you are, more and more of your human personality, oh my gosh, the first thing you see is all of your faults, failures, and shortcomings. And that can be very depressing. That can make you, you know, in a nanosecond, go into a real funk. You know, to where you're really down on your case, you're feeling guilty and absolutely the bottom of the heap. And I want to tell you that that is a sign of your own spiritual progression. That is a downer that's actually in highest truth an upper for you. It's one of those weird ups and downs of illumination. And that's what happened to me this last week. It's like, oh my gosh, I felt awful because I could see so clearly. Well, I felt like I was at base one. You know where you think you're at a certain place, and all of a sudden you realize, oh my gosh, I'm on step one. But as I looked at it more and more, and, you know, rose above my ego's judgment, because the ego is always trying to do two things. It's either trying to make you better than everybody else and superior, or less than everyone else and a total failure. It doesn't seem to have any middle way there. It's always attacking you one way or the other. So as I prayed and I forgave myself for judging myself and, you know, all of the processes we're taught to do, and nothing lifted. I was still in a funk. I realized the truism that I could only be seeing these things if I had gone to the next level of light integration. And this is what I wanted to share with you, is that the process of illumination is ongoing and eternal. You're never going to come to the end of it, okay? It's not a goal to be reached. It's not a trophy that you can say, oh, I claim the trophy, I've attained whatever, whatever. No, it's always ongoing. There's always more. There's never the end of God. There's never the end of divine creation. It's open-ending, open-ended, and continually unfolding, okay? So there's no rush, no hurry. You're exactly where you need to be to where you need to be. Okay? So what happens is that this is the process we all go through. We stand at the base of the mountain, a mountain. Say that's your spiritual dharma to challenge the mountain, to climb it, okay? And so you start picking your way up the mountain. Sometimes you go zigzaggy. Sometimes you go around a little ways this way and then around the other way, and sometimes you branch off and get lost in some trails that lead nowhere or to a cliff or something, and you have to retrace your steps. There's all these many ways to get up the mountain, okay? And we're each free to pick our own way, whatever that is for us, and the ways would be what we call our spiritual path, our religion, or, you know, whatever we're using as the vehicle to transform ourselves. And it doesn't matter what it is. They're all equally good and useful for as long as they are. And you're going to outgrow every single path at some point and become the way, the truth, and the path for yourself. So anyway, you're going up the mountain, and finally you get to the summit. And you enjoy the view, and you feel like you've arrived. Oh, the thrill and exhilaration of triumph and of victory and of feeling you've really arrived. And that's where often we get fooled, and we want to then hang up our shingle as the latest ascended master on the planet or whatever. And we start then to operate out of the illusion that we've arrived, whatever that arrival signifies for us. And often at that point, we start to do less spiritual practice. That's the real problem here, is that we begin to slack off on the things that got us up to that point, and we get a little lazy, get a little complacent, get a little full of ourselves. And we could call that spiritual ego, when you think you really know something, that you've really attained a certain level, that you really are that wise one. Beware. So then what happens is that you stay at that kind of plateau level for a while, and then all of a sudden you descend. And there's many ways that happens. I would say one of the ways that happens is that we do get too full of ourselves, too vainglorious, too ego-promoting, and begin to think we're better, wiser, smarter than everyone else, and we begin to fall, little bit by little bit. What happens is that the attitude starts to shift from gratitude to resentment, feeling you're too good to do this particular thing. You're too advanced. You don't need your teacher. You don't need your spiritual path anymore. That's for infants. You know, you get those kind of little snarky, very subtle little thoughts that are negative. And then you start to judge the people around you. You start to be critical. And you justify it thinking, oh, well, I'm just looking into their, you know, where they need to do the work. Actually, you're seeing where you need to do the work, because that other person is just a mirror of your own self. So what you see in them is actually what you need to work on yourself. But, you know, the ego mind is so clever, it will justify itself and just pull out all the little spiritual platitudes to make you feel good. But you know what? You feel really sucky inside. You don't feel good. You don't have that joy and that bliss and that vitality and that freedom inside. All of a sudden you feel like something's off, but you don't quite want to call yourself out on it yet. Okay, you still want to nurture this self-justification and self-righteousness a little bit. But in some way you find yourself back at base one again. And you realize, oh my gosh, I haven't made very much progress at all. But you see, that's the ego again, because it wants to put you into a real brummer. It wants you to get really down on yourself so that you, hopefully, to the ego, give up and say, oh, to heck with it. And so beware. The only one that ever judges you is the false self. Write that down in big letters. No one judges you but your own false self. So then you start at base one again, but a little bit more humble. Okay? But what I want to say here is that you don't descend to block one again. You feel like you have, because you're in a real funk usually at this point. But the truth is, you keep a progression of ascension going on. And it has a cycle. And that cycle is ascending the mountain, reaching the peak, enjoying the plateau, stabilizing that state of higher awareness to where it's your automatic, and then you go from that level of illumination to the next level. And as you get ready to go to the next level and you begin that ascent, you can look back reflectively and all of a sudden see more clearly your, let's say, areas that need to be strengthened, your areas of weakness where you still tend to get into the lower nature. And for the first time, you can see more clearly. That seeing more clearly is a direct result of an increase of the light, an increase of the illumination of your own mind. So that's a good thing. If you look and you see all the areas that need to be fine-tuned, and but, you know, there's another thing that I realized, and I wanted to share with you, and it's this. The God force, the master, the one that is taking charge of bringing illumination, the God self, if you will, is within you as your own higher nature. Okay? Your own higher nature is illumining you from within. The best that an outer reference point, be it a book or a seminar or a teacher, the best they can do is reflect back to you your own self. Okay? Your own self. Because it is an inside job from beginning to end. That's why you can't fix yourself from outside yourself. That's why it's futile to try to add something on to you to become more spiritual, more holy, more awake, more aware. And yet we try to do that, don't we? I mean, it's our nature, especially in the, I would say, the westernized nations. We're constantly taking seminars to become better versions of ourselves, aren't we? Trying to become more abundant and more fulfilled in our relationships and more self-aware and more mindful and more, you know, more. But I have yet to see a workshop where they encourage you to celebrate your wholeness now. I mean, you know, people make money doing workshops, self-improvement seminars, and motivational conferences and all that stuff. And usually what they do is they give you about a high, which at most may last 2 weeks, usually less, and then you go right back to where you were before. And you've spent a lot of money at this point, and you have to ask yourself, what was my lasting takeaway of that? Well, I have to put a little caveat in here, because I took 2 trainings myself way back in the 70s called Insight Transformational Seminars, which are still being offered out of our base in Santa Monica. And I only took 2 trainings. I took Insight 1 and Insight 2. But I learned in Insight 1 what was my major downfall point. What do I do that causes me to go in that downward spiral? We all know what that is. And I found it was fear. That when I was afraid, I didn't participate in my life. I withdrew from participation. Now, you and I know when you're in a funk, okay, when you're down on yourself, you don't want to interact with people. You don't want to pick up the phone and chat with a friend. You want to sit down with your half gallon of ice cream or whatever your indulgence thing is and, you know, just drown your miseries in self-pleasuring. Whatever that is for you, which doesn't work either, because then you feel even worse and more guilty. But I'm just saying that we don't want to participate in life when we allow fear to block us. So identifying when you start doing your fear dance is such a key to setting yourself free.
And fear turns into empowerment once you have stepped into it. That's the weird thing. The minute you do it scared, it becomes empowerment. And instead of feeling really scared, you feel like you've set yourself free. God, I remember an experience I had on the inner planes. This was so real that I woke up in my bed shaking and trembling with chills that made every hair in my body stand on end. I had an inner plane experience of standing on the very pinnacle of a pyramid in Egypt. And the voice of a master that I did not see said, jump. And I jumped. And just telling you the story now, my whole body is flooded with chills and I'm shaking. I have never had a scarier experience in my life. And I woke up at that point from the shock of it. And a friend of mine who is a very, very, well, I would call her a master, called me out of the blue and she simply said, by the way, you flew. So we'll have tests like that on the inner planes that test our ability to obey the voice of the master, to leap when we are absolutely trembling with fear, because either you're going to fly or the grace of the master is going to cushion you, or if you die, as was the case of one particular devotee who came to Babaji, Babaji picked up the body at the base of the crevasse where he had leapt and resurrected it, and then accepted him for discipleship, saying, well, you passed that test of obedience, so now welcome to my circle. So we have all of these little tests that go on. You may think they're just dreams. They're not dreams. They're inner plane initiations and tests of initiation. So anyway, I learned that in my very, very first human potential training. And then the second training, Insight 2, taught me the key to making my life work. And that was full participation in what was present. To engage life at whatever comes forward toward you, not from a reactive place, but from an appropriate response that is loving and centered and on purpose. And you know what? Those were the only two trainings I've ever needed to take. They showed me all I needed to know about living life. So I offer that to you because nothing you can give is more precious than the fruit of your own experience, because that will ring with the authenticity and the truthfulness that will shake people where they're receptive to that information. It'll get inside. It'll start to bring that transformation because it's empowered by the divine spirit through that person's experience. That's why when you teach, all of you who are teachers, like myself, have been given the Dharma to teach. Only teach from what you have directly experienced, unless, of course, you bracket it and say, I learned this from so-and-so, or so-and-so taught this. But the other thing that happened to me, which was so amazing, was that I went into a static divine realization with just those two trainings. I was in a state of bliss in which I was absolutely soaring, and I saw everyone as my beloved. Did it last? The lessons lasted. It's taken me many, many years to more or less stay consistent in seeing the divine in all people and things. I have my days, you know, we all do. But mostly I'm consistent in that, I would say. The times when I'm not is when I allow my body's fatigue or the pain in my body to bring my consciousness to a lower level. And then my challenge, of course, is to release the sense of being a body. Because pain comes with identifying yourself with your physical body. The more you transcend beyond body consciousness, the less you notice your body. And that, of course, is your big challenge. I remember Sai Baba broke his hip, severely injured his back, and cut himself when he purposely took a fall that was going to happen to one of his college students. So instead of letting his student go through that, Sai Baba, the avatar, took on that fall and that injury himself. He stood for several hours in the most excruciating pain, blood trickling down and drenching his undergarments, and delivered a long talk to this assembly of thousands and thousands of people. I don't remember what the occasion was, but he was giving this talk in the stadium. It was packed out. And his point of view was that he did not want to cause distress or worry or upset to anyone, and he didn't want to disappoint anyone by not speaking. So he had to take control over his body, and he kept telling himself, I'm always telling you to rise above body consciousness, so if I cavil at this pain, it's going to set a bad example. But he had to keep going back to the bathroom time and time again to mop up the blood. And there was no paper in the bathroom, so there was a towel hanging there, as there sometimes is in India. So he kept mopping up the blood and rinsing the towel, washing the towel, and coming back. And finally, one of his college students who was attending him on the stage said, Swami, why are you going so often to the bathroom? Normally you just go in the morning and the evening. And Swami said, don't mind it. This is what I have to do. And he said that pain was so intense that no human being could have borne it. And so he was serving as his own example that it's not easy, even if you're a divine cosmic avatar that's omnipresent and has perfect control over the physical form, you still have to overcome that pain that so often comes with being on this planet in a physical body that is really, I must say, not at the level to accommodate who we truly are as a divine being. It's rather inferior equipment in terms of its evolutionary state compared to the magnificence and the power and the velocity of the electronic spin that constitutes you as a higher being. So sometimes when you come into your physical body in the morning, you'll notice that you feel like you've got a blast furnace entering you. I wonder how many of you experience that. My body burns like suddenly, there's a furnace inside me when I come back in my body in the morning. Why? Because the vibration of my cosmic form is so much higher than my physical cells. It causes a burning when I re-enter. And the other thing with this shifting unconsciousness that I just went through with the summer solstice is waking up so disoriented and so confused. You haven't a clue where you are. You can't find a mind or any thoughts to gather. And you just sort of sit there like a blimp. And you wait for something to indicate where you are, who you are, and what you're supposed to be about. And this is all part of that process of constantly outgrowing the time-space limitation. The sense of where we're here, and this is the day it is, and this is the time it is, and all that stuff. It's all a big nonsense. It's all a big illusion. And also when you try to go back and find memories, oh my gosh, they're gone. It's like, how, you know? And then the other thing that happens, aside from whole blocks of your life being dissolved in the life, excuse me, the light, is that all of a sudden you have vivid recall of things that happened to you at any point in your life, the most intense vivid recall of stuff that up to then you hadn't even remembered. But attached to that memory is some excruciating pain which you shoved under the carpet of subconscious mind when it happened. A lot of stuff happened when I was a child that I never acknowledged because, for one thing, when you're a child and you are abused by someone, you don't know that everyone doesn't do that. You just take it as that's the way everybody grows up. That's the way everybody lives. And I'm not talking about sexual abuse because that never happened to me to my knowledge. I mean, maybe I denied that too, but I don't think so. But these are little subtle things that at the time really frightened me. Like being left all alone while my mother went out on a date. You know, little things like that. Or being spanked, you know, really rather violently with a hairbrush. Little things like that that at the time I didn't make any big deal about that. But all of that was like information that went into the subconscious that resonated as a negative, let's say, samskara, a negative impression in the consciousness that the light of illumination is bringing to the surface. And then what are you supposed to do with this stuff? You're supposed to release it to love. To the love of God, to the grace of God. Or if you have a great personal love for a particular form of God, it could be Sai Baba or the Lord Jesus or Mother Mary or Amma. If you have a form that represents to you that supreme Godhead, you can release it to that one. Or you can just release it to the grace of God and ask the Lord to dissolve it back into the nothingness. Because ultimately every negative, hurtful thing dissolves in the love of God. And you do that with a deep breath. You just release it. So the ups and downs of illumination often appear the opposite of what they really are. When they reveal parts of our past and parts of our subconscious mind and the failures and shortcomings of the physical presentation, we tend to think that that's a negative thing. But, beloved, it's just setting you free. Do not take any of this personally, okay? We're just dealing with impressions that have registered negatively within our consciousness at some level, and they need to be returned to love. That's all. And as they're returned to love, they dissolve back into the nothingness, which is actually the allness, because the negativity is the nothingness and the allness is the love of God, the grace of God. So always ask for God's grace. Always default on God's grace. Why? Because you're made of God's stuff. You are God. There is nothing in you that isn't identical to your Creator. If it's true of God, it's true of you. And I'm not talking about the vengeful, you know, God of wrath and judgment. That's somebody's tribal God, okay? That's not the supreme. supreme it of itself that we're speaking of. There are many, many lesser gods that have governed groups of people throughout time. And sometimes they're taken to be the one absolute god. No, they're what are called imperfect gods. They are souls on the way practicing to become conscious gods, godlike creators, which really is all of us. We're all beings that are on our way to manifesting conscious godhood. Okay? We're all somewhere in that. And we will go on to extend the divine creation. And when you're a practicing God, you make a lot of mistakes, right? Like, whoops, I blew that planet. Whoops, I destroyed that world. And it goes like that sometimes in the lower psychic and material realms. It's kind of like that. You learn by trial and error, even when you're moving into what we would call a creator God status. So the God we want you to connect with is your own inner self with a capital S, and reference to that, because that is God in you as you, or what we could call the Atma, which is the spirit. The soul is the individualization of that, okay, the extension of that, because the Godhead is formless, nameless, beyond any possible description we could attribute to it. So that's why in these realms of consciousness, which is just below the absolute awareness of the all that is, you move in what is called a realm of consciousness, which is where you try out all sorts of different experiences. And soul is here to have every kind of experience, so there's no higher experience or lesser experience, or really not even more spiritual, because your whole life from beginning to end, all your relationships, all your experiences, everything you're doing, your job, your family, your romances, everything, is part of your individual specific curriculum that is unique to each soul. And you're doing what you're doing because at a higher level, you've agreed to do that, and you want to do that, and you want to have that experience, because at that higher level, you don't judge the experience. So you might think, oh my God, why would anyone want to choose cancer, or losing a loved one, or being blown up in a terrorist attack? Who would want to do that? Well, nobody. And their human consciousness for sure. But when you're in the unlimited, absolute, divine self that you truly are, it looks like just one more interesting experience. It's perhaps hard to realize that the soul has absolutely no preference or bias or judgment whatsoever. It just doesn't go there. It's completely full of joy and bliss. You know what the soul is? It's joie de vie. It's that sheer joy and delight of living itself. Just being alive. Being who you are. Doing what you do is such a turn-on for you as a soul. You just get heady with it. You want to roll in yourself like a cat in catnip. Life is so delicious, and your own being, your own energy field, your own unique consciousness is so luscious. So when you're in that state, you're in the soul, okay? You're in your true self. You're in that light that has taken an individual expression as you in whatever you're doing. So, I'll tell you a truth. You can be a drunk in a gutter, strung out on crack cocaine, lost everything, and sitting in your own mess in the middle of a gutter, and that has no effect on your holiness, your divinity, your purity, and your perfection. Not one iota of an effect. Why? Because in highest truth, you've never left the heart of God. You have only sent a stream of consciousness like a little data probe down here in this little human doodad that you think is yourself, it's not, to sample and experience the plays of consciousness. But you're not even here. You're phoning it in. Your little human personality is like a little puppet that you're pulling the strings of as your divine self. Well, is there a God, like, apart from me? Do I have, like, a father, mother, creator, God? Yes, beloved, you do. And there will come a time when you realize that you are father, mother, God, and beyond. But while you're in the plays of duality, where it looks like we have relationships with others, be it divine gods and goddesses or masters or whatever, we call forth the invisible supreme absolute to enact these roles. Why? Because it gives us pleasure. God itself created us to experience relationships and loving exchanges with one another. So if God gets joy out of pretending you are separate from itself, then of course you get joy too in pretending that's Father, Mother, God, and that's Master so-and-so, and that's, this is my whatever. It's the nature of God, and it's your nature too, to delight in its creation. And you are the greatest delight of God. You are the very love of God, extended as a spiritual ray of grace into this and a myriad of worlds. There's no end to illumination. Well, what about the ups and downs? Well, they become less and less dramatic the higher we get, I believe. Now, I'm just saying this on supposition. I'll let you know further on down the trail. But I believe that the swings of the pendulum, the violent ups and downs, become less as we begin to illumine and integrate more and more of our true nature into our human mind and human body and human expression. Okay? We go from that human level of identification to becoming superhuman and operating at super conscious levels until eventually the whole dream of imagining ourselves to be human beings falls away too. And we begin to awaken more and more as conscious divinity. And it keeps going and it keeps going, and pretty soon we outgrow the whole Earth school, which is here to train you to be a conscious co-creator with God. Pretty soon you graduate from Earth School 101, and you move on to a higher planet or galaxy or dimension where there's higher curriculums going on. Every one of the planets in our solar system is a school for souls to study a particular curriculum. And this, of course, as you might imagine, is the school of hard knocks. And the school for self-mastery. You have to master your vehicles of manifestation. You have to master the physical body and the astral body and the causal body and the mental body and the etheric body. And then when you get up to the soul realm, you find that you've never left home. You're the love of God. You've always been the love of God. You've always been one with God. And then that soul awareness. We'll do another seminar on the soul and the soul realm and soul consciousness. But tonight we are looking at the ups and downs of illumination and also its effect on what's happening on the planet outwardly. You see, the evil is getting eviler and the light is becoming brighter and the lies are becoming more obvious. And the deceits are coming up. The little things that people maybe did decades ago, all of a sudden they're coming up to bite them in the butt. All sorts of stuff is up. I don't care where you look on the physical planet, there is something that's you know, waxing or waning or you know, intense, you know, ego drama. There's just a lot of karma coming up that has to be cleared, because this is the end of a 26,000-year cycle and a 12,000-year cycle of darkness, and we're moving now into a 12,000-year cycle of light. So that's what's happening. The light is increasing. The vibration is increasing. Everything is up. It's all good. It's all good. You have to realize everything is answering your prayer to fully awaken as the divine being and love that you truly are. And the people who are ready, that are going to be able to graduate into the golden age, will be the people who can stay in the vibration of living love. Love is the boarding pass to get into that next class. So you've got to have your entrance pass. It's got to be stamped with the love of God, which is your own vibration. And other people will be graduating to another school. But the ones I'm speaking to each week are those of you that are progressing very well in advancing your and expanding your love and your selflessness and your light. So that's it. You know, it's not a difficult thing we're talking about. Our function and purpose as soul is to simply import the light wherever we live, wherever we work, wherever we go. We bring the light. And light dispels the darkness. You don't fight the darkness. You don't criticize the darkness. You ignore the darkness. You just bring in the light. And then where's the darkness? Makes sense, doesn't it? So likewise, you don't fight yourself. You don't judge and criticize and condemn yourself. You simply call forward the light and fill yourself with the light and allow the grace of God to dissolve that darkness as you keep putting in, bringing in the light. And, gosh, I think that pretty well sums up what I wanted to share with you tonight. I know many of you are feeling extremely discombobulated, kind of like me. And welcome to the next level. Welcome to the next summit. And as we look up together at that next peak that we're going to be ascending together, let's hold hands and remember we're all in this together. And we are God's love here on this planet to share it with everyone. So I hope this has been helpful. So let's go out chanting. Let's do Anaihu. Deep breath. Anaihu. And just raise your hands and send your love and light to all the beings on this planet, to all the situations and issues and conflicts and problems. And we just ask that God's love and God's grace just dissolve as much of that negativity as possible and awaken everyone to the degree that they can possibly awaken. And for some of you, you're going to simply awaken and realize you've been the Christ all along. You've been pure, divine, selfless love. And that is the Christ. And so we bless everyone and pray that everyone on the planet might have a touch of that divine love in some way that they will interpret it and understand it is from God. because God loves all of its creation, and every one of us has its own self. God bless you. Good night, and namaste.